Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Kerr County, Texas now say just three people remain missing after the July 4th flooding. Days after nearly 100 were still considered missing, many of them have been accounted for. However, the flooding still killed more than 100 people in the county, a large number of them at camps. But one special needs camp saw an army of volunteers descend to allow the camp to reopen. The director of the Children's Association for Maximum Potential, Susan Osborne, said,
I probably had 50 hugs the first day that we started, with kids just coming up and hugging me, and it was beautiful.
Today marks 6 months in office for President Trump. On social media, he urged Senate Minority Leader John Thune to cancel the August recess in order to confirm more of his nominees. The tech company CEO, who was seen on the big screen at a Coldplay concert with his arms around another woman, has resigned. Astronomer says that CEO Andy Byron resigned. That video of the incident went viral. This is ABC News. Katy Perry was performing Friday in San Francisco when her giant butterfly, helping in her midair performance, appeared to drop on the crowd below. Perry steadied herself. The show went on, but Tiffany Chang, who was there, tells ABC.
We were scared for her. We were scared for the fans that were also below her.
Perry's not the first singer to experience a midair malfunction in recent weeks. It happened to Beyonce in Houston and Chris Brown in New Jersey. Extensive violence, including executions, reported in southern Syria as the Druze population fights local Bedouin Sunni tribes. ABC's Patrick Reeval has more on the uncertainty in Syria.
At the heart of this is Syria's struggle to build a unified, stable state following the end of the Assad regime. That is why you've seen the U.S. try to help the government back a ceasefire. Now, Syria's leader, Ahmad al-Shara, has called for all sides to respect the ceasefire and is urging calm. Clearly, this is a big test for Syria.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Experience Northern Wisconsin this season and book your vacation at Lena's Northern Pines Resort on beautiful Butternut Lake in Butternut, Wisconsin. This quaint resort has it all. A full-service resort and restaurant, open year-round for all your seasons. From ATVing to snowmobiling, grouse hunting, deer hunting, and even ice fishing. Or just come to relax with the whole family. And there's also an event space for that perfect occasion that you might be celebrating. Butternut Lake is a 1,000 plus acre Class A musky lake, along with walleye, crappie, perch, and panfish that the kids love to catch. It's perfect for escaping the hustle and bustle of the city. Check your next adventure out today. Go to northernpines.net. www.northernpines.net.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. An effort to restore northern pike habitat in Green Bay is also benefiting other wildlife species and raising local awareness about the effects of climate change. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The primary goal of the multi-county collaboration was to create fish passage openings by building culverts and restoring wetlands to improve spawning habitat for the northern pike. Ken Delata with Oconto County says the project has since expanded to benefit a wider range of species. Delata says most types of Wisconsin wildlife depend on wetlands at some point in their lives, including northern pike.
They're very important for controlling bait fish population out there. It is a very sought after fish, especially in the wintertime. Recreational-wise, it's a huge draw.
Delata says restoring these areas has given the researchers a unique opportunity to study the travel and reproductive patterns of northern pike. Their grant funding ends in 2027, but he says they hope to continue with these projects. Chuck Druckery with Marionette County says half of the remaining wetlands on Lake Michigan are on the west shore of Green Bay. So far, 82 projects have been completed there, opening up 200 stream miles and restoring nearly 20 acres of wetlands. Druckery says agriculture has replaced many wetlands with ditches that have become problems for pike and other species.
Because the ditches, they are deeper than the original streams were, so that even if the fish can swim up the ditch, sometimes they can't get out of the ditch.
He thinks their progress could become more challenging challenging given the threat of climate change and heavier rainfall, but the projects have also provided opportunities to raise awareness of these issues. They've made 2 acres of land into an outdoor classroom for hands-on teaching to students about the importance of wetlands and wildlife habitat. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine today in upper 70s, light east winds. Just a few clouds around in the overnight with lows dropping to the upper 50s. On Monday, partly cloudy, could have a couple of showers. Otherwise, highs will top out in the upper 70s. Rain chances better Tuesday. Right now, it's 55.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up on Monday, we'll visit with Up North News reporter Selena Heller, as well as Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and get civic media updates from Jane Matinere and Jimmy Koska.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, hit me, cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We have our friend Robert Lilligren starting out right away with us here from the Native American Community Development Institute, and what a beautiful day here, Robert. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Always good to be with you. It is a beautiful day. I just biked back from the office, and it's a perfect biking day. Not too hot, not too windy, sunny.
Yeah, I was at the market today, and it was beautiful. And it was
I just missed you there.
Yeah, it's great to see community and be involved in such a perfect day here. I love having you on, and we talk about positive things and things that are happening around the community. I would like to start out, before we get dig deep, what's happening at NACD right now, and what's happening basically with your organization, but also, you know, what you guys support. And I'd like to start it out in a good, positive way today.
I love it. Thanks for asking. Well, the market was today, of course, Four Sisters Farmers Market. Perfect day for it. And it was a good day at market. It was health day, wellness day. So a lot of emphasis on that with the exhibitors and the trainings and things and the people tabling. Also, as part of our food sovereignty work, we have our urban farm, Four Sisters Urban Farm. And this is what, I think week 3 of our internship program. And these young people, these interns are just so engaged. They love learning. They went up to Sharon Day's property for a field trip, and she, you know, put them to work, which is good, and also taught them a lot. And so that just, it feels so good, right? And then another thing that's coming up at All My Relations Arts, make sure you see Creation Story. It's closing very soon. And but also we have an open call for filmmakers. And All My Relations Arts is going to hold its first short film screening this summer. And so there is a call for submissions. The call closes August 3rd at midnight. And if folks go to the All My Relations Arts Facebook page, they can click through to the applications. But there's already been a really good response, Robert. I will tell you that. And it should be good. It should be really good. So please, all native filmmakers who can hear me, please go to the All My.
Oops, we just lost Robert somehow. Sometimes that happens when you hit the delete button instead accidentally, but we're sure he'll jump right back on here in a moment or so. Very interesting. I think, art is healing and film is art, and that's just great. So, Robert, I think you might have accidentally touched an exit.
I didn't touch anything.
Oh,
my hands are clean. If you don't want me here, Robert, you can just.
Well, you know, I can't do this show without you. I'm the king of ums. I had about 10 ums in there while you were gone.
So the open call for filmmakers. And then another thing that's a big deal for us is we're going to remodel our offices. And you know how tiny our office is.
Yeah.
We have maybe 12 people working out of a space about the size of an average bedroom, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we're occupying the basement. We're going to remodel that, have a lot nicer space, more professional space. So that's starting August 1st. So the gallery's closed. The Creation Story Show comes down. We're kind of shifting some workspace over there, but more storage space. So we'll be kind of remote. So wow. I won't be seeing you. I mean, the market will still go on, of course. All of our programming, our Make Boating a Tradition, will still be staged out of the building. But big changes coming to next. That whole first floor that you're used to seeing as our office will become conference and meeting space.
Wow. And I was hoping that you'd put a second floor in there.
And I would love to do that. So just a little story about our building. You know, we purchased it with our partner, American Indian Community Development Corporation. We co-own the building, and we bought it, maybe 12 years ago now, to be a redevelopment site, right? And to somehow, the idea originally, the thinking was to demolish it and put up something big, taller, newer, more in accordance with the vision of the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then, you know, the economy collapsed in the 2000s. We had a downturn again. So that goalpost of redeveloping the building keeps getting moved further and further out. But putting another floor on top of it has been an idea in the mix.
Wow.
But we'll see. But we just have some immediate space needs. We're so crammed in there, we can't really even work. So we're going to do this for now and then engage the community and figure out what we should put there. But here's one of the things, Robert. Is in this interim, our little yellow building that houses Powell Grounds Coffee Shop, All My Relations Arts Gallery, and our offices has become kind of iconic on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And, you know, during the George Floyd's uprising, we staged the Protectors out of there. We just turned our whole building actually over to the Protectors, and it gets used, right?
Yeah.
Stages from there, the Indigenous Protectors Movement stages from there. So I almost feel like it might be better for us to keep the little yellow building and to find another building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Well, you mentioned that too. I remember when COVID first hit and nobody knew what was going on when it comes to food and helping people. There was no vaccine. You guys really stepped up. We brought food there and for the community, and it was in money, and because it was crazy.
It was crazy. I mean, it was crazy because nobody knew what was going on. But, you know, we were such food deserts here, right? And then with George Floyd uprising, even more access to food was limited. Mm-hmm. And so we converted our gallery into we called it a pop-up food shop, but it was really like a grocery store. Right, we took all the art down. It actually stored right here in this room for several months, the art. And we had the woman who is now our director of administration, Angel Swan, put together this program. It was COVID, so you had to have all these protocols in place. But yeah, for several months, it was like a grocery store in there. It smelled like a grocery store. One of the craziest parts, people contributed food like crazy. But the people contributed things like big reach-in coolers and freezers and things like that, that then we were able to repurpose into the community once the food shelf was shut down. And during the George Floyd uprising, after George Floyd was murdered, you know, I really expected our building to burn, right? Things were burning all over the place, yeah, right in our vicinity. But our community stepped up and protected our people, protected our assets, and protected our non-Native neighbors and their assets, right? There's almost no damage on East Franklin, the American Indian Cultural Corridor, because we organized protectors. And the Franklin protectors staged right out of our parking lot. But I remembered as we were kind of shutting the building down, we decided not to board it up. I thought it was going to burn. We were in the middle of the audit, so one of our staff came and took all of our audit papers to protect those. And I'm standing in the middle of the office, and I'm like, what do you take? What do you save? If you know. And so the only thing I could think of was a honor blanket that had been presented to me. That was hanging in the office. It was presented to me when I left the city council. I thought that I can't replace that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the only thing I took.
Wow. And that wasn't that long ago, Robert. And that's amazing talking about this, because it does seem like a while ago. But hey, we're here with Robert Lugren, CEO of Native American Community Development here in the Twin Cities. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Woohoo! Hear that? That's what having fewer hot flashes and night sweats can sound like. Veoza is the number one prescribed hormone-free treatment FDA approved for moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms, also known as hot flashes and night sweats, due to menopause. Veoza can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veoza and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veoza if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veoza. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veoza.com. That's Veoza.com.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone, here. I am with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're kind of reminiscing about a couple things, but you kind of were really struck me because of the George Floyd murder and what happened and how we were protecting our area. And you know, there was bad actors coming from all over the state and other states to burn down our city.
Right. You forget, you know, how weird it was. And there were all these reports on social media and stuff of, you know, cars being filled with oil soaked rags that were going to be set on fire. People were finding piles of firewood that was drenched in kerosene or gasoline. I mean, you had to be really aware. And people throughout the city organized to keep themselves safe. I mean, some of the stories that you heard about. Remember this once or so, it was late at night. It was maybe 2 a.m. You know, it was hard to sleep during all that because of the noise and just the tension.
The helicopters.
And I was out on my patio, my terrace, which is up, you know, up a hill kind of, and so there's a main street down below us, Franklin Avenue, and some guy came walking down the street, not anybody I recognized, and he had kind of a look of a of a protester, you know, and maybe a little bit of an anarchist. And he had his big knapsack and is walking his dog, his skinny dog. And he stopped right below my building and the trees were blocking, so I couldn't really see what he was doing. And he's messing around with something. I can hear this crinkling and stuff. And I thought, oh no, he's going to light my building on fire. That's the first thing that I thought, you know. So I'm just like, okay, watching, expecting to see a spark at any moment. And then a minute or so goes by and I see him bend down. So he went below the tree line and he picked up his dog's poop and put it in a little bag, you know. So he was just out walking his dog. Okay, if he's picking up dog poop, he's probably not going to light my building on fire. Right. But for me, it was really an illustration of how it just made us distrust everyone, right? A stranger walking down the street at 2 a.m. has to be up to something bad, right? And I didn't like that. I didn't like that feeling.
Well, I remember, too, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but I remember, too, that there was videos out there of people wearing masks, white people coming in and destroying the auto mart and with a hammer. And people are going, what are you doing? And then the pharmacies in the area were, you know, the Walgreens, Greens were burned down. And it's like, we didn't do that to ourselves. We didn't.
Liquor stores burned down. Yeah, with the Native Protectors got these teenagers that broke into a liquor store on Franklin. And they made the kids stay there while they called their parents.
Right.
Came from some suburb. You know, not from this community, and they made them wait for their parents to come and pick them up, and I thought that was spot on.
Yeah, you know, that was awesome. But again, Native American Community Development Institute was right in the middle of all this, supporting the protection of Franklin Avenue and our relatives and supporting the people that were out there.
And, you know, we gave over our building and our parking lot and everything. Our conference room was like a medical warehouse. I mean, it was really quite an operation, but we didn't really do that much. It was AIM, American Indian Movement. It was the Indigenous Protectors. It was Mike Gozy and his crew at American Indian Community Development Corporation. Yeah. But we were able to do a few things. Like, we had a curfew, right? We had a curfew. And so that was an impediment to doing protectors work. So we're able to work directly with the mayor and get a system of sort of curfew waivers that we could give our folks. And so we negotiated, you know, they had to have a identifying T-shirt, they had to have some other things. But so we could do stuff like that. But really, it was the community. The tribes really stepped up and sent people down. People came down from the reservations. And it was really an operation. There was a fire going in our parking lot 24/7, a spirit fire. They're cooking food on a grill, you know, around the clock. And so it was really a community effort.
Well, it was amazing, too, for me, being about 3 miles away in St. Paul. We had a Super America burn down for no reason. We weren't even close to the area. So there was bad actors all around. And one of the things that I had a young warrior on the show last Friday, Bear Vin, and he was young, and he remembers when he was living in Little Earth and how people were heading right towards Little Earth and looking like they were going to burn it down, and they stopped them.
Little Earth stopped a couple. They stopped the National Guard.
That's right.
Yeah, those Little Earth folks, man, they will protect their land, and I appreciate that. And there was one night, the protesters were kind of coming towards Little Earth, and so the National Guard was kind of coming towards Little Earth. Little Earth, for folks who don't know, is a urban community right here. It's really the heart of the residential Native community in Minneapolis. And I was watching the live feed, you know, from the Little Earth protectors. And so I had a leader from Little Earth on one phone, and I had our lieutenant governor on another phone. And I'm like, you guys, someone's going to get shot. I thought for sure someone's going to die here. And that's what happens, right, when there are these militaristic responses. And so there's kind of this standoff. And this amazing thing happened, Robert. The National Guard retreated. They stopped and retreated. And, you know, hats off to the Little Earth Protectors for what they did for their community. And I've always wanted to know who gave that order. Somebody had to give them an order to retreat, because I don't think they just would. And so I've never been able to find out, but I would love to know. And there is a lot of actions like that where our community just behaved so incredibly well. Division of Indian Works building, when it was when it was threatened, and the National Guard was marching down East Lake Street, and there was a bunch of protectors circling that building. And I'll never forget watching this feed where the protectors were so disciplined and so well trained. So you had these armed soldiers, you know, National Guard, marching on them. And all of the protectors at pretty much in unison put their hands on top of their heads and stood like this.
Wow.
I thought it was amazing discipline.
Yeah.
It really was our community at its best.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it really talks about what we always talk about here is our resilience and to take action and support each other when it's dark out, you know, when it's getting dark. And it's getting dark now, too, with in a lot of different ways. Oof. And we're the resistant experts. I really feel terrible about what happened with public broadcasting, because that's going to trickle down to tribal stations across the country in the support. And I know Native Roots Radio gets some support from NPR too, and we do Little Moments count once a month.
Yeah, it's so painful. You know, how can a majority of federal legislators think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
And if it's, you know, I don't, if you take offense at their programming, then, well, I don't know why you would take offense at your, at their programming. And it's so valuable to so many people. Right. So we'll get through this, I'm convinced, but it's going to be painful.
Right. And I guess, too, I'd like to start talking about how we're going to turn this around, because it's really one of those things where, you know, I haven't done much door knocking for politicians, but I think it's time, and I think it's time to do things like that and really get out there and talk to people about really what's really going on.
Right. Nope, that's exactly right. And so, you know, it's the midterm elections next year. I think it's all hands on deck, right? And in cities like, in communities like ours, we know where the vote's going to go, but it's going out to other communities, supporting people in other places. And, you know, we're fortunate at NACDI to have Make Voting a Tradition program. And that's really extending out across the state, up into the rural communities, the reservation communities. But you hit the nail on the head, Robert, when you said talk to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is what we learned, a few years ago now, 10, 12 years ago. But when we had an anti-marriage amendment, constitutional amendment on the ballot here, and Minnesota became kind of a testing ground for a different approach. And these constitutional amendments had passed in like over half the states. And it had always been framed as a civil rights issue, which clearly wasn't landing with people. It wasn't resonating with voters. And so tons of research, tons of strategy. And the approach was having courageous conversations, changing hearts and minds with your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers. There was a huge campaign, if you remember, where we trained people to do that, how to have this difficult conversation. There was a lot of theater involved in kind of showing people how to do it, a lot of arts and stuff. And by gum, it worked.
Yeah, and we got to go back to that, Robert. Hey, I always, always appreciate you coming on and talking to us and talking to all the people that listen to Native Roots Radio. It's really our pleasure.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Make wish.
Hey, we'll see you next week. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Authorities in Kerr County, Texas now say just three people remain missing after the July 4th flooding. Days after nearly 100 were still considered missing, many of them have been accounted for. However, the flooding still killed more than 100 people in the county, a large number of them at camps. But one special needs camp saw an army of volunteers descend to allow the camp to reopen. The director of the Children's Association for Maximum Potential, Susan Osborne, said,
I probably had 50 hugs the first day that we started, with kids just coming up and hugging me, and it was beautiful.
Today marks 6 months in office for President Trump. On social media, he urged Senate Minority Leader John Thune to cancel the August recess in order to confirm more of his nominees. The tech company CEO, who was seen on the big screen at a Coldplay concert with his arms around another woman, has resigned. Astronomer says that CEO Andy Byron resigned. That video of the incident went viral. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another win for the Brewers.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beating the Dodgers again, 8-7 last night in Los Angeles. Milwaukee now with a 9-game winning streak. Now, the Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani hit his 33rd homer of the year. He leads the National League. But the Brewers kept coming back. They're now 5-0 against the defending World Series champions after that 3-game sweep in Milwaukee before the All-Star break. Although Freddy Peralta won his 7th straight start, he wasn't particularly sharp, giving up 4 runs and 5 hits in 5 innings pitched. But the Brewers tacked on some insurance runs to maintain the lead. Right fielder Isaac Collins with a 363-foot homer over the short right field wall in the 4th inning. Caleb Durbin with an RBI double in the 6th. Then Joey Ortiz with a home run to round things out. So again, the final, the Brewers 8-7 over the Dodgers last night. Game 3 of the series wrapping up this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine today in upper 70s, light east winds. Just a few clouds around in the overnight with lows dropping to the upper 50s. On Monday, partly cloudy, could have a couple of showers. Otherwise, highs will top out in the upper 70s. Rain chances better Tuesday. Right now, it's 54.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result, unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
On Monday, I'll still be camping in the Northwoods, so Matt Rothschild is in the guest host chair. He'll be bringing you his thoughts about Wisconsin progressivism and, of course, some slamming poetry.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and also the CEO of Native Sun, the nonprofit. Great to see you, Robert. Thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. There's a lot going on in the energy news right now.
Well, let's rock and roll. Take it away.
Yeah, so, Robert, right now, there is a push by this administration to keep coal plants running. So this is a big story right now. The Department of Energy's emergency stay open orders for aging fossil fuel plants are forcing unexpected costs onto the utility customers. So this administration wants to keep these coal plants open. And what it's going to do, Robert, is it's going to basically jack up everyone's electricity bills, because this administration wants to be able to put money in the pockets of their buddies.
Yep.
And this is, I don't know what the other side is thinking. I don't know what their voting side is thinking, but I don't know how more evident this can be, Robert, of simple, you know, just cronyism.
Yeah, definitely.
And so he's keeping these smokestacks, these coal plants firing, when there are clearly renewable energy sources that have been built or being built to take its place, and it's going to cost the ratepayers millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're keeping an eye on things. This is insanity 101.
Yeah, it really is insanity, 101. And so there are memos coming down from this administration to these different government agencies, and one of them came down to the United States Department of Agriculture, and they had an energy grant application window for folks to apply for, and they abruptly just canceled it, canceled it. And so now, these people that applied for this grant, obviously aren't going to get it, but it just closed on them. And so these are usually communities across the country that, you know, are looking for ways to fight, you know, climate, you know, energy poverty, to just get their communities resilient for climate change. We all just seen that horrible flood that just came through that small Texas town just recently.
Yeah.
And so these are what these grants go out to, like, help these communities deal with. And this administration just canceled all these grants, or told this government agency, the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, to cancel these energy grants. It's just terrible. It canceled the application window.
Jeez. Well, I'm glad you're on top of things and let our audience know about how insane this is. And to give people more information, because of the 24-hour news cycle, we need to be talking about this constantly over and over again, Robert.
I agree, Robert. Another one here. This is mind-blowing, Robert. The rest of the world, it says here, is investing more in clean energy, $2.2 trillion around the world. Not the United States, Robert, not the United States.
Right.
The rest of the world is investing over $2.2 trillion into clean energy and electrification projects this year.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the United States is just falling farther and farther behind because of this administration. And Robert, you know, I want to make this point out to all the viewers right now that clean energy is like the basis of world leadership. The reason why we were able to, you know, lead the world the last 100 years, and we were able to afford this beautiful lifestyle that we have in America, is because we had cheap energy. Cheap energy leads to world leadership, leads to world dominance, leads to, you know, economic independence, leads the world economies. And that's what the rest of the world has figured out.
Yeah.
Because we have an administration that gets bought out by special interest, specifically the fossil fuel industry, we are going to fall behind because our politicians, unfortunately, are being bought and paid for.
Exactly. You know, just drill, baby, drill, baby. I mean, that's something that you might have heard in the 60s. Now he's brought it back in a terrible, terrible way.
And I hope this happens, Robert. I really hope this happens. But critics fear Trump will use a Department of Energy report to push pro-coal agenda.
Jeez.
Yeah. The Department of Energy has whipped themselves up a pro-coal report, and they're afraid that President Trump is going to use this in his campaigns. And I'll tell you what, Robert, I hope he does, because it's all lies. It's all misinformation. And, I mean, I'm sorry, Democratic Party, if there was ever a time, Robert.
Exactly.
If there was ever a time we needed you, this is it.
Well, and also mainstream media that doesn't report this and has normalized this rapist, felon convicted person. I just, thank goodness you're here and we're on all these progressive stations across the country. Thank you, you know, for bringing the report and bringing real news up.
Yeah. And Robert, I just cannot believe. I mean, this is like what we would call a walk-off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A walk-off home run. Like, literally, this is a walk-off home run. This is like the defense going and just sitting down and saying, offense, go do what you got to do. So I'm telling you, if we can't take advantage of this moment, of this time, I'm sorry to say, people, we probably deserve what we get.
Right. Well, and then the things that we talked about in the last few days with the Epstein list and all these things that he ran on fixing the economy and lower prices the first 90 days and getting us out of the wars. And he's just done the opposite and is destroying the economy. So either one, he can become a hero and build it back up. Or just take it over.
Yeah, and I just feel kind of like, you know, and this would be my plea to Ken Martin, right, for the Democratic National Party, right? Ken, you know, I totally get the corporate Democrats. We gotta appease them, and I totally agree. But right now, we've got to go the exact opposite. We got to get over to the Bernie, to the AOC side. Yep. Probably to the David Hogue, you know, from the Parkland shooting, that kid. We got to get over to their team right now, because I'm telling you, if we're going to win back if we're going to win this back, that's where I think this country wants to go. And I don't think it's, you know, back to the, you know, centerpiece, you know, where the corporate Democrats live. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't know if that's where we need to go. I think we just need to go straight on with those guys, get on their backs, and, you know, and let's bring it on home for the home team. You know what I mean? Bring on the win for the home team.
Well, and not only that, Bob, but let's bring the truth and the reality of it and not worry about mincing words with the what has been called the limousine liberals. I think we need to bring the new breed in, the people that are seeing this. I know we talk about the other younger generation, and we always talk about the seventh generation as being native, but the younger generation knows that they're not going to get the same perks that we did. They're not going to be able to buy homes, and they already aren't being able to buy homes. We got a new owner of the Timberwolves who his big claim to fame not only was steroids and baseball, but he owns $150,000 doorknobs. And you know what that means? He owns all these houses, and that's what's going on with the economy of trying to buy a house. They just ramped up the price of homes.
Well, you know, Robert, that you know, I was bringing that up when I was running for city council.
Right.
You know, I would remember talking about that and people were like, no, it's just supply and demand. I'm like, no, it's a little different than that. It's corporations. It's investment firms buying up these homes and artificially controlling the price of home values in said city. And that's why, you know, I was totally against it when I was running for public office. And I said, let Minneapolis have that trash. Let Minneapolis have those problems. And St. Paul, you know, let's continue to provide and be able to allow families to raise their kids and families here. And that cuts down on crime. That cuts down on all kinds of other bad things that happen when families are here raising their families. And, I said, that's where St. Paul's got to be. And another thing to that, too, Robert, like, you know, our arguments, you know, are going to be, if we go way to the right with these guys, it's going to be, you know, they're never going to be happy. If we go to the left, they're never going to be happy. So, you know, we just got to be like what Bernie and AOC are saying and just present our argument and let's just go for it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Forget all the rest and try to please everybody. And that's my point to Ken Martin, right? Like, forget about everything we're trying to please. We can't please everybody. Let's just give them our argument and let's just go for it, because where these people are at right now are literally off the United States of America. They are literally not on this island with us.
Absolutely. And we saw what happened last time. But I hope that people have a good memory about what's happening, because, you know, one of the things they did in that big, beautiful, crappy bill was that they made it staggered, these things that are going to hurt poor people and BIPOC people. And they staggered it out a couple of years. So if the Democrats do get in, get running the things, they'll get blamed for these things that were in this big, beautiful, ugly bill.
Well, I love what Stacey Abrams did, where she like basically broke it down. You know what I mean? Like, this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to cause chaos, mass confusion. You know, they're trying to get civil unrest so they can implement their, you know, military state. You know what I mean? And I just believe all that is happening right now, Robert, and we got to stand together and stay together. And, you know, everything's going to work out if we keep the faith, you know.
Is that the update here from Solar Bear?
That is the solar news with the Solar Bear.
Thank you, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I just had to say that one more time.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped 4 seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No.
Oh, no.
Hey, that's a good one. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a co-founder of Native Roots Radio, which we've been getting Native our relatives' updates here for over 9 years, Wendy.
Woo! Hey, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke. Kakehanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And we work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I was out shopping. I was out shopping a couple of weeks ago.
What?
Yeah. And I went to this little tchotchke store.
What does that mean?
Tchotchke. Tchotchke is a slang word. I think it's Yiddish. Tchotchke. It means like little things or novelty items. So it's
like little
tchotchke things, like little knickknacks.
Yeah,
really.
Knickknacks, yeah.
But anyway, I went to on Grand Avenue here in St. Paul to a place called Good Things. That's the name of the store. It's called Good Things. And it has a lot of things. It has like women's clothes in it. It has like jewelry. It's household items. But like nice things that you would go into that store to buy a gift for somebody. They have cards and stuff. But Robert, I found this really cute. Excuse me. I just have to clear my throat. A really cute little bracelet. Now, I was shopping for little birthday gifts for our daughters. Uh-huh. You know, usually give them some money, but I like to pick them up a little something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I saw this cute thing. It was a bracelet with a little giraffe on it. But not only that, but they had all different kinds of these little bracelets. They kind of like stretch onto your wrist. They're kind of made of beads, and then they have like a little animal on it. So mine was, I picked the giraffe because I like giraffes.
Aww.
Yeah, but they have all kinds of little animals. And the weird and the fun thing about this, I'm going to give you the name of it. It's called Phallo, F-A-H-L-O.
Hmm.
That's the company that makes these bracelets. Mm-hmm. But each bracelet tracks the animal that's on the bracelet.
Wow.
Yeah. So you open up the paper after you buy the bracelet. It was really inexpensive, too. The bracelet was like $16.95, right?
Wow.
For a really cute little bracelet. And then you open up the little packet and it gives you a QR code to scan.
Mm-hmm.
Now you download the free app and I get to track my specific giraffe. So I'm online right now tracking my giraffe. My giraffe has a name.
Oh.
Yes, my giraffe's name is Fazio, F-A-W-S-I-O, and it's a Somalian name meaning survivor.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, these animals are tagged and then they're tracked for conservation. Right. Oh. So we're watching for environmental changes, habitat changes. They're watching for poachers. Right.
Good.
And really watching this animal, and they can track it. So I go online and I'm looking at my giraffe, my specific giraffe called Fausio, F-O-W-S-I-O. Yeah. Anyway, he's in Africa. So on the east coast of Africa, near Kenya, and I could see the satellite view of exactly where animal is right now. And then as you zoom in, it tracks the animal and tells you like how far it went, where is it going, you know, all these things. It's like so interesting.
That's crazy.
Now, I believe that you can go on and get this app for free. Again, the app is called Phallo, F-A-H-L-O, F like Frank, A-H-L-O. And you go on. And I believe I just did this a little while ago. But I think that you could go on and track an animal that you're interested in. See, now it says I could track another animal. I could track another giraffe if I want. But I think I'd have to, like, pay a little bit of money for that. But I just think it's like so interesting. And I was reading about it a little bit and they said that the tracking is delayed. So like when I went on tonight, it said the last time it saw my giraffe was on July 13th. Right, today's the 17th. And you know why they do that?
Why? Oh, I do know. Go ahead.
Why? Go ahead. Tell me what you think.
So poachers can't track them.
That's right. So poachers can't track the animal. You're absolutely right. Or if there's somebody who's a poacher, right? And mm-hmm. they go on to find the sap. They can get the other, you know, they could find the wow. giraffe. Isn't that unbelievable? So, yeah, it's delayed like 3 days.
That's cool.
Yeah. So then they say most of these trackers last for 2 to 3 years, right? If the animal, something happens to the animal dies, they'll give you another animal to track.
With the same purchase?
Yeah.
Wow.
The same purchase. Yes.
Wow.
And then usually if you don't see anything for about 3 months, it usually means something could have happened to the device that's on the animal,
okay.
right?
It fell off
or something. Or sometimes these animals go into such remote areas of the jungle that the satellite can't even find them. So sometimes, you know, if you go on in a daily basis, you could see where the animal is, but the animal, you know, 3 days ago might have been in a really remote place and the satellite couldn't, you know, find it.
Wow.
But what is this? $17, $16.95. It's a really cute little gift. I can't remember what animal I got Jelaine. Do you remember what animal I got her?
No, but she said
I remember what I got her. And I know why I got it for her. It just came to me. I'm such an idiot. Oh. I got her a turtle, a sea turtle. Because I remember when her and her husband went to, I can't remember where they went in the Caribbean somewhere.
Isn't that her son-in-law?
Our son-in-law. Yeah. Who did I say?
You said her husband.
Our husband. Yeah. our son-in-law. Oh my God. Anyway, they went somewhere and she said the favorite part of her trip was they went to see the release of all these baby turtles
yeah.
and these turtles that were in a rehabilitation
place, cool.
right? So she said, I just love seeing the turtles. And, you know, we watched them and they, you know, went down the beach and there were all these people on each side of the turtles making sure they got into the water safely.
Cool.
So I got her a turtle bracelet.
Nice.
I'll have to ask her tomorrow when I see her if she, you know, got the barcode and scanned it and stuff. And it's really uh-huh. easy. I mean, anybody could do it. But they had like a sloth. They had a tiger. They have like all kinds of animals.
Which one would you pick for me?
Oh, what would I pick for you? Oh my gosh. What
the
kind of
sloth?
The sloth? Because she's slow?
What?
It's an inside joke with Robert and I, you know, because I'm from New York, so everything happens fast and we're loud and it's a lot. And then when I met Robert, you know, he was like so calm and peaceful and
slow.
So I remember my mom was asking me, well, tell me about him. So I was like, you know, well, he's the St. Paul guy. He's like really nice and he's kind and
aww.
He's slow. You know, and I said, you know, he's just sounding kind of like slow. So anyway, maybe I would get you a sloth, but they had all kinds of animals. And I just think it's like a really fun thing. I mean, it's a fun thing for even kids, you know, maybe I should get one for Renzo and Olivia. They would probably like it.
I think it would be cool if Native Roots Trading Post could hook up with an organization like this. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I could look this up and see if there's anything like we could reach them.
Yeah.
Or look them
or
up.
Or start our own.
Yeah. Each bracelet tracks the animal, and it's really, you learn your giraffe's name, the story, their family, you follow them, incredible track on their exclusive tracking map. Yeah, and it's in partnership with the Somali Giraffe Project, so
cool.
That's where my giraffe came from.
Awesome. Hey, yeah. Big Peeny Gigi. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. We'll see you next week.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are back from our road trip across Wisconsin, back to recap all of the weekend news. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Areas of the Northeast dealing with some weekend flooding, including water rescues in Maryland. No deaths have been reported, but as the cleanup and the search for the missing continues in Texas, ABC's Samara Theodore says there's a major update about the flooding that killed more than 130 people.
In Texas, the number of missing from flooding earlier this month now dropping to 3 from more than 100 in hard-hit Kerr County. More than 130 people died in the devastating floods.
Texas lawmakers will hold a special legislative session this week to address the flooding. On social media, President Trump said the U.S. Senate should not have its August recess in order to confirm more of his nominees. 29-year-old Fernando Ramirez facing a preliminary charge of assault with a deadly weapon in Los Angeles. Authorities say he's the man who plowed his car into a crowd that was leaving a club early Saturday. Dozens of people were taken to hospitals. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.